Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to Pod Sauce, guys, your podcast discovery show. Dax, take it away, D-Money.
I am so excited because I have someone that I have known for a very long time, that I'm a huge fan of, Lisa Lampanelli. Welcome to Pod Sauce.
Oh my God, I'm so happy to see you. And you never age, which really makes me mad, but neither do I, because I'm really pretty.
At least you got the plaid memo for today.
We both did.
I feel like the odd person out.
That's okay.
I'm over here dancing for y'all, as y'all have a reunion. I'm like, yay!
Happy time. Yes. I met Dax when he used to be a reporter, in quotes, for TMZ. Nice try. No, but those were back in the days when I was doing comedy. When I was doing comedy and before I retired from it, and I swear to God, the things I would say to you now, I would never say to another human being. Aww. I would torture him about looking gay and about everything else. And when I was like, you got married, what's his name? You know, so... You've always been such a good sport about it.
She roasted me so hard, and it was like the happiest time of my life.
Really?
Well, because you get roasted by the queen of roasting. You know, like that doesn't happen every day.
Yeah.
And you know, I saw that you have a podcast,
I
was like, we got to get Lisa on. She's got a podcast. Like, this is my time to give back to her for
it
all
is
the
really
joy
nice of you.
She's brought into my
no,
life.
No, really, it is, because it's so weird. We were talking before we started taping about just letting things go and letting things happen. And I literally, after retirement, I was like, okay, I don't want to do anything. Mm-hmm. I want to be that person who gardens, who maybe knits. That lasted for like 3 minutes and I wanted to kill myself.
Fair.
So it was really weird. These two guys, my niece Emily is a sweetheart. And I do anything my nieces and nephews ask me to do. So she's like, well, my friend's starting comedy, so can you go and critique him? So, I mean, honey.
You said,
like, how many shows do you get invited to?
Like a million, but for a niece or nephew, I'm like, okay.
You got to do
it. So I go see him, and even at dinner before, I said to him, now I know you're probably going to suck. I'm probably going to have to break your heart. And then I watched him. I was like, oh, my God, there's, like, something funny about him.
Yeah.
So I started hanging with him a little bit, met another one of his friends.
Is this Bo or Nick?
This is Bo McDowell. Okay. And then I met his friend Nick. And what was wild was I'm like, oh, my God, the conversations you guys have between you as two straight guys, millennials, are so deep and like meaningful about big issues like acceptance and vulnerability and fear of success and stuff that only like I thought women talked about.
Fair.
I was like, oh, this is a podcast. And of course, then if you're me, you shoehorn yourself in and you're like, well,
if you're smart, I should be in.
And then you said, I am Beyonce. And then y'all can find
Destiny's Child.
Who's Kelly and who's Michelle? Just so we're clear.
Trust me, both of them are kind of girly. That's what's weird. It was like noticing that they actually were not bro-y at all. Because I'm so used to that age group of guys, you know, white straight guys being bro-y and like saying, talking crap about women and stuff. I was like, oh, you have feelings.
That's what I love about working with Dax, because I feel like there's a good black woman deep down in there.
Yes.
Because he understands. And
he gets the struggle.
Yeah, he gets the struggle as a cis white man, but he gets it.
Well, it's I think it's just people, how they're raised, the losses they've had, the trauma. One of the guys, Bo, is 4 years sober. Nick lost his mom when he was 6 years old. I mean, that's stuff that even if you don't talk about it all the time, you kind of have one way. You can go one way or the other. You can turn into a bro-y a-hole who hates women or a real drunk who doesn't recover, or you could become enlightened and figure yourself out.
Yeah. I was going to say, by the way, the name of the podcast is Losers with a Dream. We haven't even said that yet.
Oh, yeah, and I'll tell you why I named it that. It is so good.
We need to say the name of the podcast, but on that note, what you're saying with them being so open, I was listening to the episode about Even Heaven Knows We're
Miserable Now.
Miserable, yes.
Yes, it's Misery Loves Company, because come on, when you're miserable, isn't it fun to have miserable people around you to drag you down?
No, absolutely. The episode... It was it was so relatable.
Aww.
In regards to their conversation, because you came in, you jumped in, and then you left for a little bit and let them talk. And their conversation about, you know, I have struggles where I'm maybe not to the point of my career, or I'm not to the point of my life, or my mm-hmm. relationship, or whatever it is, and you look at someone else's life, and you're jealous, and you take it out on them. And you're, oh, great comedy show, but I hope you get hit by a car the second you leave. You know, like, and I think a lot of people have those same thoughts, but you don't always vocalize them because it's taboo to vocalize them. Mm-hmm. And they had this wonderful conversation about how it's not okay to have the thoughts, but they do, and then they realize, but that's just a part of life.
Yes.
And it was a beautiful conversation that you never hear anyone chat.
But
and
I even think that the, but there is an okayness in having those thoughts.
Of course.
Full disclosure, not to negate what you're saying, but I think that it is okay to think, why not me?
Yeah.
Basically, right?
Well, and the fact is, what's great about their conversations, they know that that thought is something they want to aspire to never have again.
Fair.
But when you finally accept, I'm going to usually go there, but then catch myself.
But it wasn't the why not me, it's because I feel like everyone can have the why not me. It was the I hope the person gets hit by a car.
Yeah, because I do that. Okay, I'll tell you something.
There's a couple people walking this earth, and I'm like.
Well, my part of it is always whenever I am like, because I've had weight struggles all my life, you know, I got the weight loss surgery 11 years ago, and it's, you know, it's great because I kept most of the weight off, but it's always on my mind. So part of me is, and this is horrible, but every time I see someone gain weight who I don't like, people I like, I'm like, good. If I see you gain weight, I know the pain you're in. And if I don't like you already, my immediate thought is, good, now you see how I had it after you made fun of me.
Ooh.
But then you catch yourself as a semi trying to evolve person and go, you know what? I have to throw compassion at them.
Yeah.
I have to go, just because you were mean to me doesn't mean that I want you in pain. But I think the great thing that you're pointing out, Dax, is that we're going to have those thoughts, and then you get to them and you work on them.
Yeah.
Like we did an episode on, oh God, judgment. Oh my God. Mm. And it literally is ingrained. I read a Harvard study 6 months old on We Learn to Judge, meaning like little babies have to figure out who to go to survive. So if I'm walking down the street and I'm judging someone as dangerous, I'm like, that's survival mechanism. I have to then stop myself and go, okay, that person has nothing to do with survival right now. I can take care of myself and all that. So I love that we go deep into the subjects, but there's also that, hey, we're still working on ourselves. So there's humor in that.
Yeah.
You know, I could probably never do a podcast that didn't have some humor. That's why I kind of love to poke fun at them a little bit and roast them a little bit.
You roast them a bunch.
I kind of go in kind of hard.
And that, honestly, if you guys are Lisa comedy fans, this podcast fills that void of you not being on stage.
Right, thank
But you giving us that comedy and roasting Nick and Beau, and I loved that. That part makes me want to keep coming back because it's just so funny to hear you rag on them and you know, put them in their place.
Trust me, everything they've felt, I've felt in my
human
youth,
experience.
You know?
Yeah,
it is.
It's a human experience and it is relatable, and when you add humor to it, it makes it more palatable to hear that people that you love and admire may have some thoughts that are like
a little dark and a little deep.
But when you add humor to it, it allows us to hear it.
Yes.
And then connect and resonate with it. But like you said, as long as we don't stay there and we find our way to evolve past that, that's the beauty. And I think that that's what I love about your podcast.
Thank you, because it's like the constant working on yourself.
Yes.
Like I told them, I said, if we do 500 episodes of this, I don't even care, because I'm so not attached to outcomes anymore, because that never works.
Yes.
I go, I don't care if you have 35 listeners for the rest of your life and you make not a penny from this, but if you see evolution from episode one to how you act and feel in your real life and work on yourself and get deeper into connection, like with people, with nature, with anything, with spirit, anything that makes us feel better about ourselves and more alive and connected, that's what the point of the podcast is.
Yeah.
So any monetary result or any career result, I don't care about.
Yeah.
You know, so it's cool.
I was gonna say, the one thing that I liked is that you guys do a mental health check on each other.
Oh my God, yes.
And that's, the mental health check for you, you had just got off a podcast.
Oh my God.
And you were like, so the interviewer basically told me I was a has-been.
Yeah, yeah.
That
well,
I quit my career before I actually hit the peak. And I'm like,
it was really funny because I think that I was smart enough, and actually just the universe was like Lisa, you're going to retire. Like, I just knew, I was noticing about my life that, okay,
you weren't
happy. I don't like traveling. I wasn't happy doing what I was doing. I liked the stage part enough, but not enough to outweigh all the stuff that comes with being like famous-ish or stand-up. So I call my business manager. I'm like, okay, like when can I get out? And he goes, you have to save this much, downsize your houses, and you'll be fine. Okay. Yeah. So I retire publicly on Howard Stern's show, and I sort of canceled myself before I could get canceled because that was starting to happen too. So like the podcast you mentioned, somebody had said, she goes, and she didn't mean it because we're friends. She didn't mean it the way I took it. She goes, well, sometimes, you know, people quit things when they're having a career lull. I'm not saying you did that, but that's all I heard.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, so I get off that podcast and I'm like, oh my God, I'm in a bad mood and I wonder why. So I try to trace it back to what was the sentence that happened or what happened? Mm-hmm. And I go, oh my God, I feel like I've been called a failure, even though she didn't mean to.
Yeah.
So I said, let me just go on and check in and talk about my mental health today, feeling like a has-been and someone who's completely irrelevant.
Yeah.
And just by putting it out there, talking about now, I feel like relief.
Lighter and yeah.
It's because you almost feel like you're hiding something if you don't talk about it. Like all the people who've talked about like their COVID weight gain and all that. Like I have huge shame around body stuff and I gained 7 pounds in COVID.
I got 40, babe.
Oh, well, it's a lot. You know, anything's a lot
to
someone who struggles with this whole thing.
Yeah.
And I have so much shame around it. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to put it out there because you know what? It's probably not coming off because I'm of a certain age. It probably redistributed. I can still be fine and go. I can accept me as I am. But that's hard if you don't talk about it and put it out there. And that's what we do in the podcast. Just talk about the shame because you cannot heal shame by being ashamed of it.
And there's someone else out there that's dealing with the same issues.
But what's 100%. So beautiful, too, about what you just said, if you heard, just listening to you, how you can pinpoint that moment of, because when we're still growing and evolving, there's still parts of us that can take what someone says and it still affects us versus just being able to put it more so on them. That has more to do with you than it does about me. It says more about you than about me.
Right.
So you had that moment of you internalized it. But then because you are in this space where you're desiring to continuously become a better and a higher version of yourself, you were able to stop and be like, okay, so what just transpired that made me feel and shift my atmosphere and then pinpoint it, reassign it.
Yes.
And then move past it.
Wow, that's such a great way of thinking about it because I'm going to re-listen to this when it's on and make the guys listen because that's a great way of putting it because reassigning it. Because in the old days, you know, the old angry Lisa before retirement would be like, that FNC, I'm not talking to her anymore. How dare she? And this poor girl like really didn't mean anything wrong. I know her so personally that I'm like, there is no way she meant any harm.
Yeah.
But you just know who's a harmful person and who isn't. And I go, oh, that's my internal, oh, you're a failure.
Mm-hmm.
And what's funny is I was so lucky to be raised by parents who put no pressure on us to be successful. Like they were just kind of like, go to college, see what happens. Like they didn't care about any of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, where does that pressure come from? It's all that stuff that I picked up along the way about, well, you have to stay at the top. You have to be a success forever.
And you're a woman. You're in a comedy space that, you know, during that time is predominantly ran by men.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Heavily ran by men.
Yeah.
You know, you weren't allowed to exist in those spaces in your most authentic self.
Right.
Opposite these dudes. So I could totally see where some of those, you know.
Yeah. It was funny being in comedy back then because, honest to God, I at first didn't think, I didn't admit till last year it was harder to be a woman in comedy because I was always like, oh, I did great. And I literally remember hearing that Taylor Swift song, The Man, about it would be easier if I was a man. And it's not a sad song. And I'm in my car literally sobbing. I'm like, what is going on? I get teared up now thinking about it. And I'm like, why do I care about this song? It's so stupid. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, oh my God, it was harder. So I think it's admitting all that without being, oh, I was a victim. It was like, oh, it was tough, and I never admit to anything being hard for me.
There's still power in being a victim. Mm-hmm. And I say that as someone who survived, like, sexual abuse. Mm-hmm. I feel sometimes, you know, we try not to look at it from the lens of a victim.
Right.
But the thing that's so beautiful about what you're doing, especially as we continue to evolve and become better versions of ourselves, is taking that power back and saying, yes, it was hard, and yes, it was challenging, and having those moments where you can cry and, you know, feel whatever it is that you didn't allow yourself to feel back then.
Yes, 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 right? Good point. And, you know, because I always medicated. I was never I didn't like ever drugs. I don't even know. I never tried anything but pot. Mm-hmm. I didn't try booze. I didn't like it very much in college or anything.
Gets the job done if you get a good strength. Yeah.
I used to really go to food all the time.
Yeah.
And now that I can't do that, because the surgery doesn't allow you to eat a lot, you know, and I was always a volume eater. And I'm like, man, having nothing to medicate really sucks. And then I tried to, of course, medicate with Achievement, which never works because every HBO special or Comedy Central roast or Radio City Music Hall you do, it doesn't fill the hole. So now I'm like, what the F fills the hole? And you go, oh, I guess it's, you have to just feel your feelings.
Yeah.
Oh my God, and so uncomfortable, but I'm like, I spend a lot of time just going, what is that, crying about it, and going, you know what, you're gonna stop crying at some point, which you always do. Mm. You ever notice when we fight it, we cry longer? Yeah. And then we sustain, I always, like the other day I bought my parents' home and I live in it. It's where I grew up, I love it. It's like totally cute.
Yeah.
And I'm like, always see stuff that reminds me of my parents. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I wanna cry about dad or whatever. I'm like, that only lasted 5 minutes at the most.
Yeah.
So if you sit there fighting it, it doesn't work. So that's why I try to do with the podcast is go, guys,
feel your
feels. These are deep freaking issues.
Yeah.
They're gonna be uncomfortable, but we have to talk about them, especially, you know, it's not women really. They're guys and straight guys. And you don't hear that a lot on podcasts, you know?
No, you
and
really
I think
don't.
It's very sweet that they allow me to kind of manipulate them into doing it because they know. And by the way, now it's bleeding over onto the onstage stuff.
Yeah.
Cause I had watched them both recently and I said, no, it's great. You're getting funny. You're 3 years in. You're exactly where you're supposed to be, but now we got to go deep. And
strength
see what
and
makes you different from every other male comic. And they're pushing through it.
What is the most rewarding part about being a podcaster for you?
I think it's that I get to, first of all, as you can see, I enjoy talking about myself. I told my manager, I don't want to do anything in life but talk about myself. So I do like, I like actually incorporating, okay, I'm not a life coach. I quit that program because I do not like helping people on their journey and being patient. I like advice giving, which I know is totally useless, but for these guys it works. I get to sort of have them benefit from my experience, have hopefully listeners benefit from that, and then go, oh, okay, I can also use that humor in a loving way. So I didn't have to like shed any part of my personality. Like with stand-up comic, especially the way I did it, I mean, you just use 10% of your personality, that hardcore roaster type. And now it's like, ooh, 100% of Lisa can kind of show up.
That has to be more fulfilling though in this space of your life, because like you just said, you get to show up as your most authentic and full self, and to see it be received as well and largely as it has, it's like, oh, I was always enough in this space.
You're right.
I didn't have to be this version of me. I didn't have to be that version of me just as I am. It's more than enough.
Right. I always, you know, I wonder all the time, wow, I wonder if I started comedy in this day and age, would I have been able to bring all this to the table? Because a lot of comics now can talk about food issues.
Yeah.
They can talk, like Hannah Gadsby's specials were so deep and there was more storytelling. And I was like, oh, maybe, but that's not the reality. I didn't start now.
Yeah.
But hey, who knows if I get Bernie Madoff and my money all disappears and I have to make a comeback when I'm 80.
I was just
maybe
about to
I'll
say,
have to come back and be a badass who talks about their real stuff.
But I was about to say, is there a world where, mainly because what I see over you right now is just so much joy and peace and contentment.
Aww.
I didn't know that version of you, but I see this version of you.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a space where this version of you will show up on the stage and, you know, you feel like you can do stand up in this space?
If I had a place, a bet, I'd probably say no, only because it just was too much of a lifestyle thing for me.
Okay.
It was too hard.
It was more the lifestyle than the rhetoric.
Yeah, but who never say never.
I'm telling you,
who knows?
Listen to her podcast because you get the glimpses of Lisa. That, you know, she may not be on the stage. She's behind a microphone this time, but you get it. You're laughing throughout this podcast because, you know, she's making her life relatable and funny at the same time, and roasting her co-hosts.
Well, that's true. And, you know, I do. The roast format I love. And that's a real shame that that's not something, you know, that really exists anymore out there. It doesn't seem like they're doing much of that anymore, yeah. except in private. But I did do a show, which is the closest to what you're talking about recently, which I did it was kind of a storytelling show, but it was more of an interview. And I had all these really fun stories that were really deep, though. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the show, I got up, I got a podium, and I did a roast of people who really deserve it, which was like groups that are horrible, meaning like people who throw change at homeless people instead of handing it to them, mm-hmm. people who make fun of the special needs kid who's bagging your groceries. So you get to do those hardcore roast jokes mm-hmm. without roasting celebrities and low-hanging fruit and yeah. really having some meaning behind a roast. So that's the kind of show I might revive.
Yeah.
So it's almost sit down and then do this wacky roast of people who deserve it. Mm-hmm. But who knows? That's a weird thing. If you asked me, would I be doing a podcast 6 months ago? I'd be like, nah, I just want to stay home and like, you know, decorate and do this and do that and be cute. Yeah. Yeah. And then I was like,
do your knit.
I need to be talking. Like, I really do have two talents in life. That's it. I'm not very good at much. I'm good at talking and I'm good at driving. And so I drove here today and I'm talking. So I used my two talents.
Well, and for a shameless plug, mm-hmm. Lisa was recently on my Hollywood Raw podcast.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
He was like, she was on a Hollywood Raw podcast.
We dive deep into her life and yeah. the mm-hmm. roasting and yeah. mm-hmm. you know whether she would ever go back to that and some of the rules that they had at the
it's
roast.
So crazy.
A lot of really fascinating information. So mm-hmm. again, shameless plug for Hollywood Raw, but it is a deep dive interview, a long format interview, and I thought it was a really great look at.
You
should have
told me that
career.
Prior, because then I would have been armed and ready to go.
That's okay. That's okay. It's interesting about that like old stuff. I mean, talking about the old stuff. When we rehashed a lot of it, I really did enjoy the stage part.
Mm. Yeah.
But I noticed that, oh my God, every Wednesday I would be like, oh my God, I gotta pack. Mm. I gotta leave my dogs. I gotta leave my mom and dad. I don't know, the planes. Yeah. And then of course, as someone who was raised by my mom really had rageaholism, mm-hmm. and I would go to rage all the time. Mm. I would be yelling at people and stuff, and I'm like, oh wow, it's really nice to live life not yelling at people that much anymore,
because
you removed.
Yeah.
You removed. Because I did the Minimalist podcast yesterday, and we were talking about how less is more. If you want a happier life, you remove stuff, you don't add stuff. Mm. And I'm like, oh yeah, by taking away the wrong husband, taking away the too many houses, taking away the career that didn't really seem like it worked anymore. I was like, oh, there's peace in that. Mm-hmm. So just removing really felt like that's where I'm supposed to be. But the part that we were talking about on there, like the roasting, like the actual stage, it was pretty badass.
It's so beautiful, because before you came in, when we first were like, you know, doing our prep meeting and yeah. this morning, I'm like, you know, I read your bio. And the bio really is what jumped out to me, mainly because I have a good girlfriend who, like you, at the top of her career, she just realized that, and I don't want to say at the top of, because I do believe you still have more heights to come. I feel it. That sounded so whimsy, but it's
that's
like,
okay.
I feel it.
That's okay. I'll take it. I like that.
Like,
it's not an
whimsy,
insult, I'll tell you what.
It's not. I'm like, there's so many, and mainly because I'm watching you now, like I said, and how much higher and more peace that you have here than in that iteration. That's why I can confidently say, I know that there's so much more on that side. But when I was reading your bio and listening to you, a lot of the things that you posed, the questions of, okay, what do I need to do to set myself up to exit this life?
Yeah.
Were things that she did. She ran this blog that was Nicole Bitchy, and I called her prior to doing this to make sure she would be okay with
me
sharing that. And it was a gossip site, and you know, a lot of it was kind of like negatively connotated, and she just reached this point, and I remember, and I was saying to Dax and to Angie, I'm like, yo, I remember her being in my kitchen one day, and she was like, I'm so not happy. I can't do this anymore. Like, I feel void. And now she went flat broke, by the way. And she, like you, had to set herself up, sell this, sell that, get rid of this. Mm-hmm. And now she runs one of the biggest women's lifestyle, you know, sites out there. She has this multivitamin called Happy Flow, you know, that's wildly successful. What was that moment for you? I say all that to say, what was that moment for you when you woke up that morning and you realized, I am willing to and I will be up for losing it all,
right,
just to step away from this.
Right. Well, I was lucky enough to be raised by parents who were Depression era.
Okay.
So they taught us from like age 21, you got out of college, you just start saving money. So I was lucky and smart enough to have a business manager who was like socking it away, making me do it. And I'm good at that. I'm really, you should see, like, my stuff does not cost a lot of money. Like, I love a rainbow shop. I love a Target.
My girl.
Like, come on.
Give me some highs and lows, honey.
I used to be like, when I was making huge money, I would be like balling all the time. I was staying at the Peninsula. I was buying all these bags and shoes and everything.
Yeah.
And I was like, clearly, obviously trying to fill the hole and trying to make myself happy through artificial means, which doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I go, okay. So I had saved some money, like I said, and I just started noticing my life. The problem was when you get on autopilot of career and driven, you don't notice your life. You're just running from this to that and this to that, and you just don't breathe. And I think it was my father, when he got sick, I had time to take some time off and take care of, or help take care of him. Mm. And I was like, oh, this makes me happier than that does. So it's just noticing. And no action was taken at that time. So then I started doing the road again after he passed, and I was like, well, this isn't happy. Well, this is weird. Okay, let me notice that. So I think it's everybody just needs to notice their life and discontent. So I don't think there's any one moment where you wake up and go, unhappy, let's quit. And so I called my business manager. Yeah, and I said, you know, what do we need to save? And I want to live in this house my parents built 70 years ago, which was always in my phone as home. Mm-hmm. It always said home. And I was like, oh, that's a sign. Mm-hmm. So he said, okay, we need to do this, this, and this. And you'll never have to work again. And it's not living a ballin' lifestyle. It's living like a human, a suburban human being. Mm. So I go, okay. And it just was so, the universe just took care of it. I had enough gigs to do that. I got enough self-esteem from connecting with friends and family. My management was totally cool with it. They wanted me to be happy. And then I just said, where can I announce this where it will be taken seriously? I'm like, Howard Stern, of course, because he's always been so good to me.
Yeah.
Went on there and it just took off, and I was able to relax into this kind of space of figuring out what works, or not even figuring out, letting it happen. Because
yeah.
I mean, it never would have occurred to me to do a kind of a podcast that doesn't even have a studio, like doesn't even have a freaking producer. It's just like, we kind of just do
talk,
it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, it's because it's spiritually fulfilling. Mm. So I think it's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Do you as a podcaster, do you listen to other podcasts? Because I think one of the beauties of this show is we discover other podcasts based on what people are listening to. Is there something that you could recommend that you listen to that you love?
Well, what's really funny is my age group is not podcast listeners. It's literally a younger person's game. So I was late to the podcast party, late to the Instagram. Like, I'm a late adopter of everything. Mm. So my niece,
so you're
as you know.
So you
listen
to Serial right now?
Yeah, right, right, right.
All things true crime, right?
No, my niece, as you know, from she does And That's Why We Drink.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, maybe I'll listen to podcasts, see what that's all about.
Yeah.
And I had seen a Netflix special called The Minimalists. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, these guys are really cool. It's about less is more. Mm-hmm. And it's about really finding more joy in life through less things, less people, less obligations, less busyness. And I was a victim of busyness. So I started listening to them, and I was obsessed with it. And it's literally the only Patreon I have. I met with them yesterday, and I was like, guys, I actually paid $2 an episode to hear you, you know?
For all the exclusives.
I know. So I love that. It's very spiritual.
Yeah.
There's a couple crime ones that I've tried to listen to, but I kind of like watching documentary better. Mm-hmm. But I would say The Minimalist is like my obsession. I do like the idea. I love Nikki Glaser's podcast. I think she's a badass because she started when she was 17 doing comedy. Mm. And literally 20 years later is talking about stuff that I would have never had the guts to talk about at 37. Like anorexia, like food obsession, low self-worth, just all that stuff. Mm-hmm. That women even hadn't talked about back then. Mm-hmm. So I listen to her. I really like those. So those two really clean my clock. And usually when I'm driving.
Clean my
clock, baby. Yes, girl. So those are the ones I listen to when I'm driving. Because when I'm at home, I just always have like the TV on in the background because I'm I need something to keep me in a good mood. Because I am not a wake up and take on the day girl.
Yeah.
I'm a, oh my God, this sucks.
Rolling
Let
into the day.
Let me figure it out.
Rolling
oh
into the day.
Oh my God, when is that going to end? When
am I going to get my fast food coffee and get over to the pasta?
Yeah, hell yeah, I know.
So I have on my
reruns.
We were
like, girl, dump that in the mug, girl. They didn't cut us a check yet. Dump that, honey.
That's true. So I just have on like Frasier, like old reruns of shows.
Oh my God, I love Frasier.
Isn't it the best?
They joke, they make fun of me, but I'm like, I freaking love Frasier.
The best. I just have on a sitcom from the old days that made me
feel
good.
Makes you feel good. Yeah.
So those are the two that I really, really listen to. Awesome. Plus, of course, my nieces. And
Hollywood Raw. I mean,
yeah, Hollywood Raw is like on 24/7.
I got two I want to recommend to you. Ooh. I really think that you'll like, just because you mentioned that you like True, which they're a fan of the show. Yeah. Friend to the show. We're a fan of theirs. Mm-hmm. But it's always the husband.
Oh, yes, I've heard about that.
It's so good.
I love that idea because
it is
always.
It is always the freaking husband. Mm-hmm. And then Max Linsky hosts a podcast called 70 Over 70.
Ooh.
Like Norman Lear was one of his guests. And Gladys Knight. I feel like you'll really, really love that. Just because, I loved it, just hearing sage advice, you know, hearing how people that whose works we grew up on, you know, works that we admire, just the different life lessons that they've attained along the way.
Yeah.
And looking back and appreciating life and giving their bits of wisdom on how, if they could do it over or if they could change something, this is what I would tell people.
Yeah.
And like, who better to tell you than someone that's lived a full life?
And I think that's what you were saying, you know, as far as like, you know, to your two co-hosts, you've done it. You ran the gamut. And now, you know, you're in a position to lend your life's experience to them to hopefully make them, at least in listening to what you guys are saying, and I'm going to definitely check it out, better versions of themselves and better contributors to their craft. So 70 over 70. And
ooh, that sounds good.
I think I love that.
You're welcome. Duh.
Yeah. And also, I do think like if people of a certain age are not treated as well as they should be, they're not like honored as much as they should be. And, you know, I'll never be done learning, which kind of sucks because I'm like, am I done yet? Like, what is that about? Like, when can I stop working on myself?
Yeah.
I'll probably be 80, 85 never. And still going to some retreat or still trying some new spirituality
stuff.
That's
what I think you'll like. Norman Lear said the exact same thing.
He's the best.
He's 99 years young. Yeah. And, you know, this actually got me over a fear of mine because I used to have a fear of death. It's the absence of it all. Someone said something to me the other day and it tried to bring back my old little fear, but then I was like, get back down there.
Right.
But they're like, you know, you get to a point where you realize that there will be a day that someone for the last time ever will say your name before they leave this earth. And then all traces of you are gone, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So Max Linsky asked Norman Lear, do you have a fear of death? Because again, he's 99 years young.
Yeah.
We want him to get all his years, but he's 99. And he's like, no. And he was so resolute in how he said it that it kind of blew Max back. And Max was like, well, you know, what makes you so fearless when it comes to death? And he's like, well, no one's ever come back to tell me what I needed to fear.
Oh, my God. I love him so much.
You see what I'm saying?
I'm obsessed with him because, of course, I grew up in the day that all in the family was, you know, when I was a teenager, it was just all the rage and all the Maude. I always felt like the modern day Maude. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, wow, just hearing that. I love that because dying. By the way, I've never had a fear of dying either because we even talked about it on the show. We did a show on death because those guys have had so much loss. And I was like, I won't know I'm dead, so who cares? I am afraid of other people dying. Mm. So when my dad died, I mean, my fear from an early age, I mean, 5 was my parents are going to disappear. I don't know why, but that's how I felt. And I was like, oh my God, I got through the worst thing I thought that could happen is my dad passing and now my mom about 3-4 months ago.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, her birthday is coming up and Christine from And That's Why We Drink is supposed to have her baby on my mother's birthday. So that would be very cool.
Happens.
Me too.
I hope that happens.
But it's weird how with death, I was always afraid of other people dying and still am, but I saw that I got through it.
Yeah.
It's funny you say that because I think my mind gets going if I'm not here. Are my kids okay? Are my wife okay?
Level.
And so that's where I'm not afraid to die, but I'm like thinking about them and what they would go through freaks me out.
Wow. Mm. See, no, you're absolutely, that's a whole different level.
Yeah.
Because I'm not leaving anyone. First of all, I have it on good authority. Your kids don't like you that much. So it's fine.
Yeah.
Yes.
You'll be fine.
Then there's
they
that.
Often call me and they say, how do we kill Daddy?
Planning the party.
And I said, we'll do a podcast because it's always the wife. And we'll get the
it's
wife.
Always the children.
Always the children.
But no, it is pretty wild because you do, everybody has different concerns about it. And I guess the whole thing is you just got to let go.
Yeah.
The whole, oh my, this is what I do. Again, I have to always go, wait, let it go. It doesn't matter. Like, nothing really matters. Mm-hmm. It's if we do our best, if we kind of can look ourselves in the mirror at the end of the night and go, wow, didn't harm anybody. I honestly, my nephew who's married to Christine, he's a PA. He runs an emergency room. And I know they take that oath, first do no harm. Yeah. And I'm like, if I can get through every day not doing any harm, that's kind of enough.
Especially to self. And I think that's the part of that we forget. Yeah. Oftentimes the greatest harm that we cause is to ourselves, right? Because when we're damaged, obviously that will flow to everyone else outside of us.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Well, and the misery more likes heal, company.
Misery likes company. Oh, baby. Because honestly, though, be honest, isn't it horrible to be like in a sad place or a bad mood and you have like happy people around you and they're like, no, cheer up. And you're like, I hate you, die. Yeah. So, I mean, we all just experience that. I don't want to be cheered up. Okay, let me just wallow for a minute.
But
I know when to stop wallowing and shut up.
You got to learn it, though. That's not something that's like told to us, because I think you naturally want everyone to be okay.
I know.
I think that that's one of the good things, too, just as someone who suffered with mental health issues. Mm-hmm. There's been a few times, and this is the first time I'm saying this out loud, but they've empowered me to be able to say that,
right.
Where I've shown up to work and I wasn't okay.
Right.
And I'm so cognizant of it. You still got to have a job to do, because I'm one of those rare people that I breathe rare air, that I'm not a misery loves company kind of person. Mm-hmm. If I'm in a shitty mood, I'll stay home.
Oh, wow.
Right. But when you have work to do, sorry, Ange, for that bomb, they'll edit that out.
Yes.
But there's times where I've shown up and I appreciate the fact that neither one of them, more specifically my co-host, because I have more interactions with him on set, have tried to make me be happy, happy, joy, joy.
Right.
It was just, you're going to be okay. You're going to get through this.
You
can acknowledge that someone is not okay and give them their space to not be okay.
See, I love that you said it that way, because that's exactly what happens. Like, I've become friends with Nick and Bo off the air, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, they're watching my dogs while I'm here, because I was like, this is me. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to LA. I'm going to promote your podcast, and I'm doing you this big favor.
Everyone, so take a dog.
One of you is watching Parker, and one's taking Peggy.
Take a dog.
And so I am always like, I love that they'll call sometimes. They'll be like, oh man, just a day where I wanted to scream, but I didn't. And I'm like, wow, just to get a call from someone who you thought you'd kind of have a working but casual relationship with, it's cute. And to go, oh my God, you're in my friends list on my phone. Yeah. Like, you know when you have that little list? I have a list of favorites that is just people
that you can pin
to call, like, in if I'm in a bad mood or if I need to just cry or have grief come out or whatever. I'm like, these guys are on my phone that way now? Mm-hmm. Like, ew, I go to them, ew, you've actually become friends. I hate you.
I have to be vulnerable with you.
Share my feelings.
But I think that's why the podcast works, because it's not forced. It's not like us trying to pretend we're friends. I'm like, oh, I actually like showing up for them. And I honestly am shocked that I'm calling 30-year-old guys and going, dude, I feel really sad. And I think because there's so much sadness and grief, that if we get that out of the way and we just feel it, then we can move on to other things.
But that just shows how wise you are. Sorry, I don't. You probably want to.
No,
that
no.
That shows how wise you are, because wisdom shouldn't be attached to an age.
You're right.
Right.
You're
right. That's experience, and a lot of the things that these two young guys have experienced, a lot of other people haven't.
Yeah.
Right. And so be able to put ego aside.
Yes. And go, ew, I'm actually reaching out to people half my age.
But
you know?
I'm doing.
But really, people my age, I get so annoyed with sometimes because they're very ensconced in old ways of thinking. Mm-hmm. They're not open to new things. I always call myself the world's oldest millennial, because I am like, I wouldn't say I'm woke AF, but I'm really conscious of what the F is going on in the world.
She's like, bitch, I sleep, though. Yeah, I'm not asleep.
That's right. Like, I really was like, whoa. Like, there's stuff you should be concerned about, and it's not your taxes.
Yeah.
Like, I will not have dinner with people if they start talking about, like, you know, yeah, but I really, you know, I'm a conservative when it comes to finance. Shut up. Black Lives Matter. Suck it, bitch.
You know, I just can't. No, but I just get so mad, and I'm like, I literally find myself around younger people all the time, not because I think I'm young, because they're open, and they work on themselves, and they haven't given up. So nothing against people over 60, but, you know, don't talk to me about stupid stuff. I don't
Come
care.
On,
I don't care about your taxes.
Come on.
I love when she goes into the Karen voice back and forth.
Listen.
Well, Lisa, I swear we could have you for the rest of the day.
Oh,
you're,
I love
you're
you,
wonderful.
Man.
I know at some point we have to
wrap it up. Goodbye.
You're wonderful.
Oh,
you're
I love you guys.
You're doing good stuff.
You've been good for my soul. Huh?
Yay. Oh, my God. You too. Thank you so much. This was great. Yeah. And shameless last plug. Losers with a Dream, available everywhere.
Get into it, honey. Don't go anywhere, guys. This is Pod Sauce.